This is WTIC's Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel and Dennis Halnan of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and Dennis by phone at 860-522-9842 or email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com. Get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here are Eric and Dennis on WTIC News Talk 1080.
Good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And we're going to be here till 11, so feel free to get online. Two lines open for you. 860-522-9842 is the number. We're going to go right to your calls because Glenn's been on the line for a while, but I guess he had some phone trouble. Let's try to pick Glenn up again. You there, Glenn?
Yes, I am.
Hey, there you are, sir.
Hey, thank you very much for taking my call.
Of course. What can we do for you?
Hey, sometime back I had called you about the taskbar location between Windows 10 and Windows 11.
Yes.
I finally gave in knowing the time was running out on Windows 10 and upgraded to Windows 11.
Okay.
And I'll tell you, it is a struggle between them rearranging the furniture,
yeah,
for one thing, and second of all, having to use the taskbar on the bottom, which I haven't done since before Windows 95.
Yeah.
I've always had my taskbar on the top, and it is a struggle. But I guess I'm going to work through it eventually. I'm afraid to download any additional stuff because it's hard to tell what's legit and what might be burying some kind of virus or something.
Yep. You always got to be cautious and get your downloads from a safe place. I agree.
And I'm not that versed on that, so I'm just going to have to learn.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, second of all, I am cutting the cord as of, I guess it's Monday.
All right.
I already set it up.
Nice.
I'm going through all these third-party video providers.
Yes.
My God, it's such a mess out there as to which ones to go for and so on and so forth.
The I agree. Expense,
and which ones have the channels that you want.
Yep.
It's really tough. And, well, I know Hulu is really offering a 3-day free trial. I thought that was amazing.
Three whole days, huh?
Three whole days of free trial.
Yep. I agree with you. I made a switch recently, too. I went away from YouTube TV over to Fubo because I was just sick and tired of not being able to watch a Sox game. And
exactly.
Fubo has Nessun, and for about the same price as YouTube TV, actually a little less, you lose some things. But I made that switch just recently. My kids, you can actually allow family members to stream three remote devices. So if you think about it, if you have a group, not that my kids do this, even though they should, you all could pay and split the cost. I could split the cost four ways but I'm not going to get that through committee with the wife. So they'll get it for free. But you could do that and reduce your costs because people like Fubo and YouTube TV do allow you to use a family, kind of a family share, to reduce your costs a bit if you wanted to.
Yeah, that's kind of like what I do with 365. I've got four friends currently that share that account with me, so we split the bill on that.
But each see each other's data because you're all sharing the one account? Because it's really not designed to work that way, per se.
No. We can't see each other's accounts,
If the 365 account is shared and there are distinct MSO or Microsoft accounts connected with it, those accounts only see their own data.
Gotcha.
So, yeah, it will segregate it.
Nice.
Yeah.
Very nice of you, Glenn.
If you set it up right.
Yeah.
Now, if you just have one MSO account that you're sharing between each other and you're all logging into that.
As the same user,
then you're going to see each other's data.
Yeah.
So I just want to be clear about that.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, it's a family plan, and I figured, well, I'm going to share it out, and we'll split the cost every year. It's pretty cheap, you know.
Nice. Yeah. Good.
So to me, 365 is worth it if you share it with enough people.
There you go.
Anyways, I just wanted to thank you guys for telling me that, you know, I would eventually have to switch.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the...
That's your gist?
Yeah, the Windows 10 to 11.
Yep. That sounds
and,
good.
You know, you guys are right on it. Of course, I'm still struggling with the rearranged furniture and the taskbar on the bottom.
Yep.
Wow.
Your productivity has taken a hit because of Microsoft's change to Windows 11 for you.
Is it ever?
Yeah.
Is it ever? I could probably get used to the rearranged furniture quicker than I can the movement of the taskbar.
Yeah, there's always those folks. There's other folks that had it on the side, too.
Yeah.
And
now, there are third-party tools that you can use to move it.
Right.
One of them is called Explorer Patcher, and we'll post a link to that. It's going to take a little work to get it set up the way you want, but you should be able to do it using that. Okay.
Well, since I'm not that computer illiterate, I think I'm going to forego that and just live with what I've got.
Sounds good, Glenn. Right. Sounds good.
That might be the best approach.
You know, hey, you guys have been great over all these years. I've listened to you. I remember when you were talking about Windows 95.
Ah, I had hair back then. Those were good days.
Well, I've got a bald spot myself.
Well, we appreciate you listening.
I'm one of those long-haired hippies with the bald spot on the top.
The coolest people.
Gee, thanks. Okay, guys, you have a fine weekend. And be careful. The storm is coming.
That's what I hear. Milk and bread.
I've got all my battery devices either charged or in the
process.
There it is.
Milk and bread and batteries. Thanks, Glenn.
Okay.
All right.
Be good, be safe, be well, and behave.
We'll try. Thanks very much. So on the other thing with Windows 10 to 11, while Glenn brought it up, there is an alternative, but you got to pay Microsoft some blood money, right? So if you do not want to update from Windows 10 to Windows 11, Microsoft will happily take, if you're a home user, I think it's $31 per system if it's your home user.
For the first year.
For the first year.
And then it goes up.
I think it doubles
for the second year, and then it goes up
again
by the same amount for the third year.
So basically, if you don't want to do the upgrade, you pay them, and you ask yourself, wait a minute. So you're saying you could continue this, but I got to pay you? So the answer is yes. They'll keep sending you service packs and Windows Defender updates if you pay them. If you're a business, you can pay $61 per system rather than updating to Windows 11 and delay that so you still get your updates and the service packs, which, again, you need to have that in place to protect you from issues with Microsoft. That's the irony, right? So Microsoft needs to have you pay them to protect you from them, because they're dealing with service packs and issues that they have to apply to their operating system that have vulnerabilities. And yes, you could say to yourself, well, they're a business. They're out there to make money, and they're offering me a tool that has no warranty, really. So I guess I should pay them forever to protect their stuff. But that's really what's going on here. So if your machine is 6 years old or older, you should be replacing it, or even 5 years old and older, especially if you're in a business. But if you do want to delay that year, you can pay $61 a system, and then they will give you the secret golden ticket to allow your computers to continue to get updated. For home users, it's $31. So that is out there, and it will be more and more of a thing because people have waited and waited. You only have a month and a half until your updates stop happening, according to Microsoft. Now, have they extended them in the past, or they're like, well, we'll give you a little grace? They have done that. They know how many systems have been updated and what percentage of their base is running Windows 11 versus Windows 10. So they may do that. I don't know.
Well, they might. They might also do something like they did with Windows XP.
Mm-hmm.
When that went end of life, something like 2 months later,
yeah,
a very bad exploit was discovered.
That's right. That's right.
And like another month or two later, Microsoft reluctantly released a patch for that.
For free, for that particular.
For free. And yeah, without having to do anything else other than run the Windows update.
Because it was so egregious.
It was a very bad exploit.
Yeah.
Extremely bad.
Right.
And they were virtually shamed into doing it.
Right, because otherwise you'd be in big trouble. Your system could be breached or yeah. failed in some way. I can't remember what it was, but it wasn't egregious.
It was a really bad exploit.
Yeah. So yeah, that's what's happening. We're going to step out for a quick break. We're going to go to Laura and David after the break, and then a couple lines open for you guys, 860-522-9842. We'll be right back. All right. So we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab, and we didn't hear Morgan's story about the woman who got scammed out of thousands of dollars. And we apologize, Morgan. I was chatting with Carolyn off the air. But it turns out you can pretty much say anything, and people are very gullible. We are just generally wired to be nice. And this woman gave this supposed astronaut who was stranded in space, and he needed oxygen. And she sent him $6,000 to help fill his lungs with oxygen. That's how folks are just sometimes easily taken, and the bad guys know that. On the same story, I read this a little bit before, there's a U.S. postal fraud investigator who oversaw fraud, who was charged with stealing more than $330,000 from packages mailed by victims of scammers that were scamming them out of Jamaica. So the guy knew that whatever is going back and forth with the address was going to scammers. So he was taking it. He was a fraud investigator taking the money before they got to the scammers for himself. This was this crazy. But yes, you wonder why the Nigerian prince scam still works when you actually can trick somebody into sending you money for oxygen in space. And as we've had the story of the poor victim of cryptocurrency, if you find yourself standing in front of a cryptocurrency ATM with $5,000 in cash and you're stuffing it in the ATM, ask yourself why. You have been scammed. I guarantee it. Let's go on to your calls. We're going to go to Laura in Cheshire next. What's happening, Laura? Laura, are you there?
Yes. Hi, guys. Good morning. Thanks.
Morning.
Yes. Yes. Good morning.
Yep.
Speaking of oxygen, I do have a question to follow up on the last gentleman and the scam that you just mentioned, but I want to ask my real question first, if you don't mind.
Sure, of course.
It's regarding an iPad, and last year I purchased a 10th generation iPad, which I absolutely adore. It's wonderful. My question for you is this. It's probably an easy softball question for you, but I have it set to automatic updates, and I know that if you leave it like plugged in overnight and it's fully charged and locked, it should do an automatic update when one is available.
Yes.
However, and my toggle switch is on to do that, but it's not doing it. When I wake up the next morning, I anxiously go look at it and it's like it didn't do it. So is there any hints you could give me about, I know I can do it manually, but I kind of like the idea of it just doing it overnight when I'm sleeping. Mm-hmm. Any hints as to why it might not be doing it?
It's turning off.
It might be going to sleep.
It's not turning off. It's on, but it just doesn't take the update.
Are you sure? Are you awake? Are you able to see that it's on?
Well, when I get up the next morning, I know the update number. It's like 18 point whatever it's supposed to be, and the prior update is still there.
No. I know that you know that it's not updating, but my issue would be that the machine's not on to do it, and that's the common issue we have in our servicing of our clients. You know, 9,000 systems are out there. We're trying to update them, back them up, and half the battle is to make sure people leave them on in order to do it. I would contend.
It's definitely turned on.
All right, yeah, so you have that nice warm glow happening of your iPad lighting up your room.
Yeah, I mean, it does go to a dark screen after, you know, a minute or two, because I think it just saves power that way. But yes, it's definitely turned on and plugged in.
All right. I know that Dennis is taking a look to see if he can find any symptoms here.
Well, okay. Here's
puzzled.
The thing.
Yes.
You've got a little diagnostic work to do here, okay, unfortunately. The first thing you need to do is to rule out that the computer is going to sleep or hibernating. And just because it appears to be on and it might even have a power light, on, it may still be sleeping and not doing anything.
Right.
So we need to disable sleep and hibernate. That's the first step.
Just to see if it works.
And we can post an article about doing that. Okay. And you'll have to reboot the computer after you make this change so that it actually takes effect.
Yeah.
And then see if it updates. And if it doesn't, then we have to move on to the next step to diagnose the problem.
The bigger problem.
Yeah.
Okay. I will do that. Otherwise, it's working nicely. It's a wonderful tool, and that was my one question. Okay,
awesome.
Great. And just this is the one that's going to talk about oxygen, probably suck oxygen from your room because it's going to sound really stupid. But
all right.
Just following up on the other guy that was talking about the Windows update for 10 to 11.
Yeah.
What is... I guess if I don't, I'm going to probably have to get a new computer because mine's older. But if I don't update to 11 and just continue running 10 as is, and I just use it for basic stuff. It's email. It's just web surfing, stuff like that. What is the real negative to that?
Okay.
What's going to happen?
It's a fair question. Your machine's going to keep working. So it's going to still operate as a computer. What Microsoft is not going to do is send any patches or security fixes to their operating system going forward. So if there's any problems or any security issues with their operating system, you're not going to get the fix. So your machine will be technically more vulnerable to being compromised by that unpatched fix. Now, this could be something that doesn't show up for 2 weeks or, well, if it's Microsoft, it could show up in 2 days. Or it could be something that doesn't impact you for 2 years. But you could run that machine and be fine. You may have to then purchase antivirus because you're not going to get Windows Defender anymore updating. So you have to buy your own antivirus software. And the moment you're doing that, you're paying more than if you would pay for just the $31 to get updated if you didn't want to change your machine out. So you can run it.
Okay.
It'll work. But
at my own risk.
That's exactly true. Hope that helps, Laura.
Great. Thank you so much, as always.
You're welcome. All right. We'll be right back. All right. We are back.
Yeah.
Chomping at the bit, as it were, to try to help you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. And the biggest concern these days is the Windows 10 to 11 update. But David's got something else going on. So let's see what he's got cooking. What's going on, David?
Gentlemen, how are we today?
Okay. How are you?
Good. So I want to talk about cell phone data usage.
Yeah.
Okay. So... I switched probably 6 months ago. And when I switched, my understanding was, and you can tell me if you think this is accurate or not, I was using about 2.1 gigs a month of data.
Yep.
Okay. So I switched to the new guy. Within 1 week, they send me a text saying, hey, you're at 80% of your 5 gig limit, and your system's going to slow down pretty soon.
Now they're going to throttle you.
Right.
Yep.
So, and I'm like, what's going on? Yep. So now I think to myself, first of all, one, does everybody count data the same way?
So the question before, I have to ask you a question. Are you using the same phone that you were using before?
Yes.
Okay. So you have an eSIM of some kind, or did you get a different SIM with the new provider?
eSIM.
eSIM. So you switched over.
Yep.
So it's interesting. I would have guessed you changed your phone because your usage of data should have been the same when you moved over to the different carrier, because you can turn off a lot of background functions. I used to do this when I was playing around with keeping my cell bills as low as I could because my kids were, on our programs as well. So I would try to turn off all the background updating, all the background talking and syncing that all these apps try to do, and they consume data doing it to try to manage that. But if you simply went to a different carrier and you're using twice as much data, your phone is the same phone and is doing the same things. So something's fishy is what I would say.
I agree with you.
There is something up with that. Now, what are you paying for your monthly for your service?
I paid $180 a year.
$180 a year. So,
$15 a month.
$15. That's a good price. Can't argue with that price, but you have a limit at 5 gigs. So,
which is fine, but based on my prior usage.
Correct.
And the other thing is, I'm just like you. Any app that I download, which I don't do regularly, but any of the ones that I have, it's like, listen, don't talk to me. You don't do anything unless I open the app.
Right. You turn all the background communication off and all that fun stuff. So if you've even done that, and again, you're seeing this usage spike, there's something wrong with how you got to jiggle that handle, I used to say, on your data and try to stop that toilet from running and having the data fly out of your phone. So you may have to contact the carrier and say there's something wrong with how you're calculating the data. Maybe they have an issue because it should be the same. Your amount, your usage shouldn't matter which carrier you're using because it's just zeros and ones. Unless you happen to also at the same time download an app that's causing this.
The only thing I can think of is they required me to download their app.
Correct.
And their app is using all of this.
Very possibly. Very possibly. You may want to check. So you can check app usage, data usage on many phones these days.
Yep.
So
the other thing that I'm thinking of is a consideration called bridging.
All right.
When a phone is trying to get to the internet, it's going to use either Wi-Fi if it's available and you're connected to a Wi-Fi
hotspot
access point.
Yeah.
Or it'll use cellular. And the way that it's now arbitrating that decision versus the other carrier may have changed because of the logic of how the carrier itself operates and how their cellular radio is talking to your phone versus the other carrier.
Right.
All right. It's a little bit, I know I'm getting a little esoteric here.
No, because to be honest with you, I looked at that to try to make sure that, you know, my phone is connecting to like my Wi-Fi as soon as I get home, as opposed to just sitting there,
Well, here's the thing, that decision is not always enough because behind the scenes, the phone is still looking at your internet connections. And like I said, I mean, even if you are connected to Wi-Fi, it doesn't necessarily always use the Wi-Fi connection for every single packet that it sends or receives.
You may be able to set that too.
Right. There may be bridging controls. And if you need to look at that, I would call the new carrier and ask what settings should be done or what settings should be made, because how their service works over the radio is maybe a little bit different from the other one, and what they tell you is going to be more important. Yeah. So you might want to make that call. Like I said, this is a little esoteric, but right. I think that might be a factor here.
And again, you can list you should be able to list your apps and look at the data usage and see which apps are using the most data,
right?
To see who the violators are. That's cranking up your usage. But you're right, Dennis. If it's just saying, I don't like the Wi-Fi, I'm going to go to the wireless instead.
Well, yeah, and that can happen if the cellular signal from the new carrier is actually a lot stronger than maybe the Wi-Fi speed.
Yeah.
Because the phone is constantly looking at both, and it's looking at multiple factors.
Yep.
And like I said, at any given moment, it may decide, I know I got this Wi-Fi that he's got at home, but that traffic isn't moving as quick as the cellular. So I'm going to use the cellular for these packets.
Yeah, it's possible.
It may be doing that.
Yep.
Okay.
All right. So.
All right, guys.
But your general thinking is correct. It should be the same.
Absolutely. It ought to be. Yeah. No question.
All right. Let me continue to troll.
All right. Good luck, David.
Thanks.
All right.
I'd like to know how it works out.
Yeah, we would. We would.
All right. Take care.
Take it easy. Yeah, you just think it's all the same, and it's definitely not. It's too bad. I've switched over. I've been a Google Fi user, and I modified. We used to have an unlimited service. Now I have an unlimited capped service. So it's unlimited to a point. I can't do a hotspot
anymore.
Wait a minute.
Yeah. Wait a minute.
I know, just like Verizon.
There's
unlimited
a limit. There's a limit to the unlimited service.
Correct. And again, just in his case, I don't even get anywhere near the amount of gigs that you'd have to for my usage. So my wife and I, it's like $60 for both of us to have this service together, versus the old days of $45 per handset would get really expensive. So Google Fi is still a good solution for me. I like it. So, not that I'm marketing anything. And a quick story for you guys. So, this is crazy. The U.S., our government, as it's known, is putting a $10 million bounty on three Russians accused of hacking critical infrastructure. Now, here's the thing that makes this story crazy. They've been using a seven-year-old Cisco vulnerability that remains, according to the folks in the registry, inexplicably unpatched. So they've been doing this since, believe it or not, 2012. It goes back this far, and they have targeted over 3,000 people and 500 organizations around the world trying to leverage this known Cisco vulnerability, and it's a CVE 2018-0171. Cisco patched this vulnerability in 2018.
Right.
But they were able to continue to exploit it
Because
companies replace and update
aren't
them.
Replacing stuff that was end of lifed sometime between now and 7 years ago.
Right. And now there's a $10 million bounty. The indictment, it's a 2021 indictment, I guess. They targeted oil and gas firms, nuclear plants. As my new daughter-in-law would say, it's not nuclear, it's nuclear. Make sure you sell it right. Say it right. Okay, I'll say it right. Nuclear plants and utility and power transmission companies. And they're seeking to map out the internal networks for possible future attacks. This should not be a thing. And obviously we need to get these guys, but come on. 8-year-old patches, 7-year-old patches you haven't applied and you're still using this old equipment and these guys are going after us? These are three Russians. The Chinese have been putting this stuff out there forever, according to the FBI and CISA. We've got a lot of issues there, too. So we shouldn't be surprised. I mean, one of the targets was Wolf Creek nuclear power plant in Burlington, Kansas. And they basically installed snooping software that harvested login credentials of the plant operator. Now, that's kind of scary. Only when the nuke site operators called the FBI that there was an intrusion was discovered. So the nuclear operator of the company had no idea you had Russians banging around in your system. All because you're running an old Cisco firewall that you didn't patch. So you got to ask yourself, if you're not patching your Cisco firewall, what else are you not doing at your nuclear plant? Are you putting enough water in there? How's the nuclear rods? You know, is it Homer who's pushing the button in this place? You just got to ask those questions if you can't be up to date with your basic firewall. So we'll put the links out here for you. So this is the biggest problem in IT, trying to protect your infrastructure, trying to protect your systems. IT's the issue. The organizations are the issue. We have clients who have been hacked twice and still haven't put in two-factor authentication because it's going to be too much trouble for their users. You've been impacted twice and you're not going to do it? That's really what's going on out there.
That's just crazy.
Yeah. And we just can't believe it. So here you are with a nuclear operator who hasn't updated their Cisco firewall. And so there's three Russians out there with a $10 million bounty on them. And we'll see what happens with that. I'll put the link up there for you to read. So we'll step out for a quick break. We do have four lines wide open. Feel free to get online, 860-522-9842, because this is the witching hour. This is when you guys are all on the line and we can't get to you. Now nobody's on the line. You must have called early because I asked you to, which is great. 860-522-9842 is the number, and we'll be right back. All right. Sad. But we're into fall. The best time in Connecticut, as far as I'm concerned. And we're here to help you out with your computer comments, questions, and concerns. So we're going to get right to your calls. Bob in Enfield's up first. What's up, Bob?
Yes, I had a question regarding laptops. My my wife has a ThinkPad, Lenovo ThinkPad, yep. T16, and we're thinking of replacing it. Okay. And you know, we've had some people say, "Well, no, you don't want to replace the Lenovo because it's hard to get parts." It'd be better to get a Dell or an HP. I was just calling to see what your feedback on that is. We're looking for something with, you know, a terabyte of hard drive, maybe 16, 32 gigabyte of RAM.
Yep.
I have probably the screen would have 400 to 500 nits. I think that's what they call them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, any of those brands will be out there. Lenovo is still kicking.
Sure.
They're out there. The reason they gave doesn't make any sense because getting parts for anything these days is difficult.
Well, yeah, that's true. But then again, when you can get a part, they pretty much are going to work in a lot of different computers of different brands.
Yeah. So I wouldn't let that be the limiter. If you like Lenovo, there's no reason you can't stick with it. But HP and Dell are fine alternatives. I would tell you to look at all of those brands and see if you find one that fits the bill. I would tell you to stay away from plastic cases. Make sure the laptop is metal or some sort of aluminum rather than plastic. So those hinges last for you. But that's really, you know, and then buy as much technology as you can afford. You know, an i5 Ultra, i7, you know, a current generation processor. you know, 16 to 32 gigs of RAM. The more RAM, the better these days. Terabyte of solid state drive is great. You know, the size of your monitor matters as well as far as lugging it around. So, you know, if you like something a little lighter, you can have a smaller 13 or 14 inch. They're all now even versus odd sizes. So it's going to be 14, 16 versus the old 13, 15, and 17. 17s are hard to find. I don't know. I got a lot of accountants that love 17 inch monitors because of the, I don't know what they're doing. They're lugging them around, but they got the full, they have the full keypad with the number pad on it is part of the reason. So yeah, all those brands are good. And finding parts is always hit or miss depending on what the part is or what failed and who made it.
Okay. Well, we did call Lenovo. Lenovo said, well, they've got, you know, different warranties and service contracts. And they say, hey, we can get them fixed in a day, depending upon the contract you have. And one of the reasons that we were thinking of Lenovo, the ThinkPad, is because the hefniness of the you know, the T16.
Yep, for sure. So, if you like the quality, you know, if you've had good luck, who am I to say not to?
Okay, great. Well, that's all the questions I had regarding it.
Sounds good, Bob. Well, good luck.
All right, well, thanks a lot. Have a great day.
You too. All right, so he's off to buy a laptop. But yeah, part scarcity. We're going to see what's going to happen with the tariffs. It's going to impact supply chains. All sorts of things are going to be shifted around, causing. Sure. We haven't seen it necessarily yet, but there is definitely shifting occurring. And who knows what we're going to see with the supply chain. But there's plenty of good brands out there with plenty of good parts and stuff. I'm going to bring up a real quick article too. Android. So we haven't talked about this enough. Android dropped a mega patch bomb is what it's called here. 120 fixes, and two of those have already been exploited. So this is a rare thing. We don't see a lot of these issues with Android operating systems, but this is one of the biggest patches that they've sent out in a year while attackers are actively exploiting two of the known flaws. So please update your Android mobile operating system. Make sure you're always keeping that up to date, but that's a lot of patches. So I've always talked about, you know, once everything's appified, Dennis and I are going to have to find different jobs, probably like selling mulch or something. Mulch is the perfect business, by the way. But Android has got its issues too, right? No matter what the operating system is, there's vulnerabilities, there's things that can happen. There's definitely attackers out there that are going to try to get into your system. So this is kind of a big one. And this the flaws that they're hitting, the two biggest concerns are high severity problem with the Linux kernel of the Android operating system, which is the heart of the Android operating system. And another CVE, which has a high severity issue with Android's runtime environment hosting apps. The attacker can escalate local privileges. So both flaws can be exploited without user interaction. That's the scary stuff, right? So your phone's just sitting there, and if they figure out how to exploit these flaws, they're going to take care of it. So please, please, please go ahead and patch it. And of course, Google declined to name who is exploiting the flaws or how. I'll tell you right now, our government is working really hard monitoring those bad guys. I'm not going to tell you how, but I can tell you for certain
that they are.
They are. And be have some level of comfort that they are. And so Google knows too who the bad guys are exploiting, because I'm sure the government told them.
Yeah,
they're going to be like, hey, this guy in Uzbekistan. So definitely apply your updates, and we'll put the link up here for you. But 120 fixes to the Android operating system is a lot of bug fixes, and those are some pretty serious flaws. So we'll put that link up there for you as well. So what else do you want to talk about, Dennis? Anything good?
Well, let's talk about cyber criminals using exploits.
Yeah.
Some of them are exploiting Grok, which is
Musk's.
Elon AI. Musk's AI, they're using Grok to get around ad protections and spread malware using X, formerly known as Twitter.
Interesting.
So they're using that product
against
its own sister product and then getting malware out to computers. Yep. I mean, come on. I mean, it's a story that almost writes itself, but really, you guys are going to have that much of a wide open doorway?
Exactly.
And I get that they want Grok to work integrally with, you know, Twitter, formerly known as, well, wait a minute, it's X, formerly known as Twitter. Sorry. Anyway, they want them to be, you know, married up and working together, but, you know, sometimes that ain't such a good idea.
That could be.
Yep.
There's lots of AI being utilized for attacks now.
Yep.
And again, this shouldn't be a thing. So why these AI companies are offering these services for free or such low cost for people to go ahead and leverage them? Yes, they want us to get us hooked on it, right? They want us to chat with our GPT here and, you know, confirm our suicidal thoughts, which is actually happening.
Well, right.
And this is how bad it is, where you can find teenagers accessing this stuff, chatting with these chatbots to the point where they're going to take their own lives. There's a problem. And, you know, as with controlled substances, you know, if you can, we may need to consider controlling access to AI. It's just, A, it's too expensive on our entire electric grid that we're subsidizing these industries to come up and do what they're doing. Yes, maybe AI is going to be really helpful in the future. I hope it is. But if it's too stupid to allow attackers to attack itself or to allow or to tell people who are obviously having issues to take their own lives, there's clearly some lack of intelligence with this artificial intelligence. So I've heard there's a bunch of attorneys general who are doing supposed, you know, inquiries into the AI. Come on, guys. What do you need here? You simply need to make it so that you have to pay for the service. It needs to be something that you can actually verify your age and you must pay for the service. We can do that with alcohol. We can do that with other things. Why can't we figure it out with AI? Everybody shouldn't have access to AI necessarily until we know what it can or cannot do and who's going to be responsible for what it can and cannot do.
Right.
Yeah, I got, I think, five free AI apps on my phone right now.
Whoa, that's a lot.
It is. They're all there. I don't use them very much, but they're there because I'm a geek and I really need to be involved in this stuff.
Well, right.
But why is it so easy for me to have all these apps on my phone? This is expensive stuff, technically. Should be, but it's not. It's free for me. And
that makes it free for all the bad guys out in the world that can then use it against everybody else.
Exactly. So maybe we're doing something wrong, you know. And this is how Microsoft started. They practically gave it away for free. This is how all of it gets out there. Hey, just try it. You know, it's like anything. They're pushing that drug. Is it valuable? Maybe it is. Should we all have access to it? Maybe not. You know, you really shouldn't put any kind of power tools in my hand. I don't know what I'm doing with them. I really don't. You'd be amazed at what I can do with a power tool. A hammer, same thing. Everything's a nail. So we do appreciate you guys joining us on this Saturday morning. Everything's been posted over at computertalkwithtab.com. And of course, if you want to join us on the Computer Talk with Tab listener network, you may do so. Just ask. We want to thank Carolyn for producing, as always, doing a great job. Mike G for posting everything on those social media networks for us and helping us all through the show.
And finding great links that we couldn't turn up with when we were looking ourselves.
Exactly. He's invaluable. And he's been with us for decades.
I've always said this show would be a smoking crater without Mike G.
Exactly. We do appreciate his efforts. But again, we thank you guys for joining us this morning. And stick around. Dr. Alessi is going to be up next with Healthy Rounds. He'll give you a second opinion on your health advice.
And remember, we want you to be geeks too.
We'll see you next Saturday.